And look, we're not paying him to do these interviews. I thought he was outstanding. And I'll tell you, I didn't really cover that team. I was in Kingsport, Tennessee, and then in Lexington, Kentucky. I just watched from afar. But the Tudor starts. Gosh. Rob Raines did cover that team. Rob, I know you've seen all the greats in Cardinals history, but nobody was better in 85 ever.
Than John Tudor? No, yeah. I don't think so. That second half that he had from June 1st on was just unbelievable. It's one of those things that kind of build as you went, but pitched some of the best games I ever saw. That was the most fun team that I have ever covered. I think it was the best Cardinals team in my lifetime. I know people are going to point to 2004, and, you know, probably had more wins. But, you know, that was – it just – with all the stolen bases and the pitching, 220 game winners, you know, winning, you know, getting to Game 7 of the World Series, it was just a really fun team to cover, and he was terrific.
And you think about it too, Rob, is he had the 10 shutout season. No one has done that since, and no one will ever do it. I mean, we're going to be saying this 15 years from now. We're going to be saying, you know, John Tudor is the last pitcher to have 10 shutouts in a season because of the way the game is played now. Nobody's ever going to do it again.
No, they're never going to get a chance. I mean, he had 200 innings after June. I mean, the first 2 months of the season, it wasn't very good, and they still had 200 innings after June. So, yeah, they just don't get a chance to pitch that much anymore. And, you know, 5 complete games in September. You know, it's just he was just so terrific, and he didn't waste pitches. I mean, he threw harder than Tewksbury, but he was like almost as good at control. He never walked anybody, you know, and never. So he put the ball in play, didn't strike out a lot of guys, so he didn't throw a lot of pitches. I mean, he struck out, you know, obviously more guys than he walked, but, you know, he relied on guys hitting the ball and on the guys that being able to go catch it behind him.
And he just gave us a real thoughtful, wonderful interview, and we really appreciate it. But, Rob, you tell our listening audience, he wasn't exactly Adam Wainwright after games, correct?
Well, he didn't respond well to bad questions.
Yeah.
I mean, I got along fine with him. I mean, we had a good relationship. I don't know that I'm going to say it was, you know, the best relationship I had on the team, but, you know, probably not. But we had good conversations that weren't necessarily always showed up in the newspaper. He had his opinions. He was certainly smart, educated, gave thoughtful answers if he asked the right question. I mean, I think he just didn't tolerate, people that he thought were wasting his time.
All right. Let's get to Major League Baseball and the possibility of it coming back. And, Rob, I find it kind of fascinating that they're going hard at the top paid players, hitting them with a higher percentage of reduction. How do you think this is going to sit?
Not well. And I think you've seen that. I mean, I think what I'm hoping is I really hope that this proposal of the owners wasn't designed to kind of split the union, because that's not going to happen. I mean, the younger players, you know, I think I have several mixed feelings about the whole thing. Number one is I understand what the owners are trying to do, because obviously where do you save the most money from an ownership standpoint? You save the most money by not paying the highest paid players. Okay. What happens when any kind of business is looking to cut payroll? Where do they look? The people making the most money. That's just the way the business world operates. So that's number one. Number two, though, is you got to look at it. Okay, if all these guys who are making, you know, say $10+ million a year, they have probably been in this game long enough to bankroll some money. So could they play for a year and not make very much money? Yes. Could they, you know, not have to, you know, sell a car or sell a house or something to make ends meet? Yes. So I mean, that, yes, it's a lot of money. Yes, they're asking these players to take a significant pay cut, and I don't think they're going to do it. But I can understand the logic behind that, because also then you look at it from the younger player standpoint. If they're a guy, a first-year player, already had agreed to take a half, you know, prorated pay cut, so he was basically getting half of what he was going to get before if they play half the season. So that's like $280,000. This new proposal is like giving them $260,000. So they're not really cutting those guys who haven't had a chance to make money, to put money in the bank so they can live for a year without making much money. So I can understand what the owners are doing, as long as they're not trying to do this to try to put a dividing stake and separate the older players from the younger players in the union, because that union is not going to go for that. So this, you know, it's, I know the players were disappointed by the first proposal. They were hoping for something better, but I think we do have to remember it was just the first proposal. The players will respond, you know, the next day or two. We'll see what their response is, then what the owner's response to that is. It's, you know, we're going to have several back and forth conversations in the next week to 10 days before I think we really know what's going
to
happen.
Well, wouldn't it just be fair to hit everyone with the same percentage reduction?
Yes and no. That does, I mean, yes, from a purely, outside viewpoint, you would say that makes sense. But then also you're asking the players who don't make much money, relatively speaking, in baseball terms, to, you know, that they're going to suffer because of that because they haven't had a chance to bank the money. And from an ownership standpoint, you're not saving as much money. If you're only taking, you know, if you're paying half, you're saying half their salaries, you know, then they're still paying, you know, somebody who was going to make $20 million, you're still paying them $10 million and not with basically not much revenue coming in other than the TV money. So, I mean, I think there's a compromise somewhere in the middle. You hope so. I mean, that's kind of what every level of negotiation is. Where that compromise gets and who the people are who can bridge that gap, I don't know. But there's enough, you know, there should be enough, you know, common sense in the room for both sides to realize that the game would be, you know, maybe irreparably harmed if they don't play this season, that they can work it out and not let it be just a money situation is the only reason why they don't play.
I wonder why the NHL and the NBA plans are to be in host cities, maybe the NBA in just one city, Orlando, and the NHL in two, but Major League Baseball believes it's okay to bring them back in their respective cities. Why is that the case?
Well, most of the baseball cities, you're playing outdoors as opposed to playing indoors, which I think is everybody has said, you know, all along, you're better off outdoors in this thing than you are indoors, less, you know, having to less sanitize everything and stuff like that. So I think that's probably part of it. And I think that also it's later, you know, maybe a little bit later in the year, you're thinking, okay, it could get fans. If we're already playing in the home stadiums, then maybe that's the next step is we could get some fans in the stadium before the season is over. I don't know. I mean, I think it's just from a logistics standpoint, it's just the players would rather be at home. And I think there would be more opposition, you know, among baseball, especially if you're talking about 3 months. Or, I mean, most, what are you talking about in hockey? About a month probably to get this the playoffs over with, maybe, especially on an accelerated scale, maybe 6 weeks or whatever. So it's a less shorter time frame than the 3 months that, you know, baseball's talking about playing their season.
So in your mind, do you think Major League Baseball is coming back?
50-50. I think we just have to wait and see how these negotiations go the next week or so. I'm curious to see what the players' response is today or tomorrow to this proposal. I hope they just don't flat out reject it. I hope they have a counter proposal that then baseball can come back with their other proposal. Because they got to get, you know, this is not the only issue. I mean, they've got to get, there's still some concerns and some separation of thought on the health and safety protocols too. So, you know, they've got to, I think, get the financial side of it figured out before they can, you know, really kind of, the other part, I think they could do in a day or two and come up with a compromise on that kind of stuff. But I think, you know, it's a wide gap. I mean, I think there's no hiding the fact that they're on kind of polar opposite positions right now on the economics of it. We'll just have to see.
If baseball doesn't come back this season, it will be because?
The money. It'll be because the owners won't budge on how much money that they think they can afford to lose. You know, that's the thing is they're not talking about making money. They're talking about how much money we're going to lose on this deal here. And I'm not an owner's advocate. I'm not necessarily a player's advocate either. I try to look right down the middle and see both sides of it. But I think, you know, from the player's standpoint, they're the ones, okay, we're the ones who are risking, you know, our health and risking our, you know, careers, basically, you know, because some of these guys, this would probably be the final year of their career. For some of the younger players, it's an important development year of their career. So, you know, these guys, they're the guys that are saying we have the most at stake, so that's why we should be compensated for that. Whereas the ownership group, okay, we lose money this year, we can make it back in the next, you know, 5 or 10 years. So, and some ownership groups are in stronger financial positions than others to take that hit for this year. So it's, you know, but you got to, when you're in a union and you're in a group of 30 owners, it's not like, you know, the Cardinals can make a deal with their players and say, we're all, you know, smiley faces, we're all happy, let's go. You got to have 29 other teams and 29 other players on 29 other teams who also have to agree to it too. So it's not, you know, some teams I think are better shaped than others, but, you know, you got to take care of everybody before you're going to have a deal.
Well, it's interesting you give that number 50-50 because I'd put like hockey almost like 85-15. I'd put the NBA maybe, well, we don't know enough about the NBA, but probably higher than 50-50 that it's coming back the way things are going. But with this, you know, negotiation by the owners yesterday, you put it at 50-50. You really believe there's a 50-50 chance.
Well, I think the players have got the most at stake here. I mean, I think the players' union in baseball has always been the strongest union among any of the different sports. And I just think that their leadership is going to fight hard for the players. I'd like to say it was 80-20 that they're going to play, but I don't know. I was probably more optimistic last week before this last proposal came out and the players saw the players' reaction to it. they've got a lot of ground to make up. And, it, you know, it also could be, you know, somebody's going to have to maybe decide, okay, we've got to take more time here to get this deal done. Maybe we don't start July 1st. Maybe we start July 15th. Maybe we don't start till August 1st. I mean, there's some wiggle room there in the schedule if they can kind of, you know, you don't necessarily have to play 82 games. You can play 65 games and have an expanded round of playoffs or something. So, I mean, there's ways to work it out, but based on their window of wanting to have, you know, players in camp or spring training 2.0 around June the 10th or whatever, you know, that gives them about a week here to try to basically get a deal done. And that's not a lot of time. Sometimes, you know, you see these CBA negotiations, so, you know, last months and they're going to try to do, you know, and I know it's a short-term situation. It's not like they're just whatever they agree to now is going to cover, you know, the next 10 years of the game, but still they're not going to accept a deal that they're not happy with. I don't think either side is. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Won't a sticking point be for the Players Association in next year's negotiations when they get the new CBA going is how do you define revenue? I mean, a ballpark village, gambling, things like that.
Yeah, sure. I think that has to come into the conversation. And I think they have to come up with a way to kind of compensate players earlier in their career. I mean, baseball historically has been a sport that you paid players, you know, a lot of money basically on the second half of their careers. Well, players, you know, earning money for what he's done to ready at that point in his career, not what he's going to do. You know, there's a few exceptions to that, but I think the players are going to come in and ask for, you know, 5 years for free agency and 2 years for arbitration, you know, instead of the 6 and 3. So, you know, stuff like that is going to change the economic structure of the game. So I think they're going to come in and hit it hard. And if these negotiations don't go well, then that's going to set a bad tone and a bad beginning to whenever they do start talking about that long-term deal.
Good stuff. Rob, if somebody wants to follow you and read you, the easiest way to do it?
STLSportsPage.com is the website, at Rob Raines, R-O-B-R-A-I-N-S, on Twitter.
Perfect. Great stuff, sir. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it.